Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and this week's parsha is Parsha Bamidbar, and we're within the Shloshat Yimei Hagbalah, the 3 days before Shavuot. That's right. We have tomorrow, we have Shabbos, and Sunday, and then bam, Sunday night it's Shavuos. So hope you're all getting ready. Buy your cheesecake. Figure out what you're going to be learning at night. Buy enough coffee to stay up. Whatever you're going to do, that's up to you. But I'll be talking about both Bamidbar and Shavuos, in a sort of a combination sense. So the fact that Bamidbar is in fact the parsha that comes out before Shavuos is actually no coincidence. Now the Sfas talks about this, and he writes that when this parsha specifically falls out on Erev Shavuos, which it almost does this year, right, it's extra special, as part of the purpose of the Shabbos is to prepare for the upcoming week and general spiritual refreshment. Now, in this instance, it's also time to prepare for the Chag HaShavuot, so we'll actually also be able to get some extra rest. So even though it's not immediately before Shavuos, it allows us to get some hopefully some extra spiritual preparations and some additional rest to hopefully allow us to be able to stay up and learn. Now, the Sfas Emes also brings down the Midrash, which states that the Torah was given with three things. Be'esh, with fire, B'mayim, with water, U'b'midbar, which at first seems like, what? What does that mean? Like, u'bimidbar? Like, okay, yeah, and with the desert. But, like, bimidbar really means in the desert. So, and what does it mean he gave with the desert? So, we're going to have to explain that. All right, so the word midbar, according to Sfas Emes, is a reference to the wilderness where Bnei Israel received and learned the Torah. So, that was with what the Torah was given. It was the location and the surrounding atmosphere, if you will, where Bnei Israel was able to perceive and learn the Torah, in a sense, without distractions. However, Rav Aaron of Karlin, in his Sefer Beis Aaron, explains that the term midbar is actually related in a certain sense, based on especially with what the Midrash is saying, to the word midaber, right? As you see, the integral root is dalet bet resh, right? This refers to dibor, refers to speech. He explains before he gets into exactly what this means, he gets into the concepts of fire and water. Fire corresponds to Yirat Hashem, fear of Hashem, symbolized by its intense heat, and water is the Avas Hashem, love of Hashem, due to its quenching and life-giving presence. Then both fire and water spread through wind. Wind fans the flames of fire, and wind carries the clouds of rain. And speech is symbolic of wind. So too, in the Midbar, the desert, was a place to receive and grow both the fire and the water, the fear and love of Hashem, the Ava and the Ira. Now, pretty much everything in the world is a dichotomy, or sometimes a polychotomy, but basically everything often has two functionalities with it, for good and for bad. In fact, the only thing that's not at least a dichotomy is Hashem himself. And even that, the way in which we relate to him, you know, with respect to Ava and Yira, you know, Hashem, Yudke Vavke, or Elohim, you know, even that, you know, has some dichotomies to it. But in nature, the items which are generally described as having the biggest dichotomies are, in fact, fire and water. Fire has the potential to burn and to destroy, but it also allows warmth and allows to cook. Water, you know, allows us to quench and survive. You know, it's in our bodies. We need to drink it and it sustains life, but it also can be incredibly devastating, such as, you know, a flood or torrential rains. So this also can be true by fear and love of Hashem, the Ava and Yira of Hashem. If you have too much Yira, that's not healthy. If you have too much Ava, then you're not going to be responsible and you're going to commit a virus. So you need to have a proper balance, which is the whole topic in of its own right. And there's also different types of Yira. And true Yira is not even fear, it's awe, but that's a separate, a very worthwhile topic, but not what I'm going to get into right now. Now, another commentary, this Rabbi Reuven Temistis in his Sefer Machane Reuven has a slightly different but related approach to the one we mentioned earlier. He explains that fire represents fiery passion and warmness, and that when a person learns Torah, one should do so with warm affection. He also explains that the flames rise and strive to keep rising higher. Right? So too, one must do with Torah. He must strive to learn more and grow to new heights. He also mentions that it is symbolic of Yirat Hashem, as we had said. He explains that the water always goes, you know, so that was talk about fire. So water always goes from a high place to a low place. Mountains to rivers, other aspects related to potential energy. It comes from the heavens, comes from the Shemayim, and rains down on earth. And so too, Hashem brought the Torah down from the heavens to give it to us on earth, as a matana, basically, right? So we call it, you know, matan Torah. He explains this teaches to not look at the heights and where things come from, but where they end up, right? We say Bamidbar, right? It's in the desert, right? And I'll continue to explain that, right? Where does the fire goes up, the water goes down. So in a certain sense, you got to look where things are coming from, and you got to look where things ultimately are, right? The rain comes from above, but it fills the oceans, lakes, and rivers, and ultimately into our bodies. And that was part of the lesson of Har Sinai, which was a lower-than-average mountain, you know, which, of course, also teaches Anava, humility. Because the goal is not to look at the lofty heights, but rather bring down from the heights and make it closer and more accessible to the world. So in a certain sense, first you have the fire, and then you have the water. You first rise up, you realize your potential, you realize where things are coming from, you look up the Shemayim, you connect with Hashem. That's a, you know, I guess, that could really go in the order of Abba or Yira, but let's say it's in the order of Yira and Abba, right? You go up to Hashem, you're in awe, you're amazing, you're looking at how amazing Hashem is, and, you know, and then you internalize that, and you bring it down to your level, you bring it down to the world around you, you bring down this water in the form of Torah and other ways to, so quote-unquote, quench other people, and certainly your own needs. Right, so we bring that water down into this world. We bring that kedusha down. That's really the purpose of kedusha. We want to be, you know, like, is a carbon inherently holy? Not necessarily, but the fact that we make it holy by making it a carbon, something which we offer to Hashem. So it's about taking things which are potentially mundane, recognizing their importance through the lens of that it was given from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then internalizing that and bringing it down into our world. Right, the midbar, the desert, symbolizes the toil and effort that one must put into this world, and therefore the need to study and understand the depths of the Torah. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim to get the Torah, you know, on Shavuos. And Mitzrayim was self-sustainable. They didn't, in a certain sense, that's what they did, but in a certain sense, they didn't need Hashem because they had the Nile. It took care of their needs for them, for their crops and everything like that. Right? In Eretz Yisrael, we have to pray for rain. In the Midbar, it's completely arid, which you really have to kind of start from ground zero, and you really have to start putting in all the effort, and you really realize how bare things are if you don't really put in the effort and you don't rely on Hashem. And, you know, in fact, when you're in the desert, most people cannot survive without assistance. So the desert is arid, has poor soil, and as we see, as kind of almost like a nace, but certainly see out to the Shemaya, you know, in many parts of Israel and the Negev, that it is possible to make things grow in a desert, right? It's extremely difficult, but with enough effort, ultimately it's possible, right? And so too Torah, you know, I mean, there are many parts of Torah on a pshat level that are very accessible, but in order to understand the deep meaning of Torah and to internalize it and to really grasp, I mean, which obviously one cannot do completely because it's infinite, you know, sometimes it's even nearly impossible to crack the surface, but in order to really Torah, to start imbue yourself with the values and the lessons and the sodos, the secrets of the Torah, you have to put forth diligence and cultivate it, right? The same way you would have to, you know, in a certain sense, cultivate a desert, right? I mean, Baruch Hashem, we're given a little bit of a head start. You know, we're hopefully, especially if you're brought up with a little bit of Torah, but even not, the fact that we have so many sfarim and lectures and things like that, you know, we have a little help along the way. Now, as part of the Shavua service, we have the Shtei Halechem, the two loaves that were brought as an offering, as a korban. Now, so Hashemus explains that these two loaves of bread also represent Yiras Shemayim, I mean, specifically Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem. And if so, that would correspond to fire and water. So what corresponds to the Midbar? And that's specifically the Ruach. And that's the Ruach in this sense is the motion of the individual who brings them forth and also the effort that required to make the bread, a laborious endeavor that began with planting the seeds of wheat, right? As we can perceive Hashem through Yira, we can perceive Hashem through Ahava, but ultimately we have to still perform the mitzvot, and that's a function of Maaseh. And Maaseh involves an action moving back and forth, and that, in a certain sense, involves a certain liveliness, which is symbolic of the Ruach, right? And that is actually the Midbar. But we want to turn the Midbar into a gun. We want to turn the Midbar into a gun, and hopefully we can then merit to bring back Gan Eden in the times of Mashiach and ultimately Olam Haba. So we need to have our effort directed towards Hashem, look up towards Shemayim, bring Kedusha back down to earth, and take our Ruach and imbue it in the world, And hopefully we can manifest that and beautiful things can grow. So Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach.